Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. That was Al Green, of course. He made that song famous on this day in our history. We're now about to talk to Commissioner Anthony Batts. And Commissioner Batts, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Mark. Good to hear from you again, sir.
Join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. You can link in, log into our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. But join me, 410-319-8888. Your thoughts for Commissioner Batts. So, Commissioner, one of the things we're going to talk about in today's program has to do with the piece that was sent out about Baltimore City, You're Breaking My Heart, over the murder of that took place in East Baltimore, kind of Kimberly Leto's murder, and about the 12-year-old being accosted and robbed on the street just shortly after that. And this became this whole thing kind of exploded across the city. And one of the things he did was call for you to resign. So I think you didn't listen to that. You're still there. But I wondered the sentiment about crime and the fear that exists in the city feels palpable at times, what would be your response to people, whether they live in Patterson Park or whether they live in Forest Park or where they live in the city? What would be your response to them?
I think without giving stats, without giving data, without going into depth of trying to explain what's going on, I think my critical piece is to listen. There's a reason why people feel the way that they're feeling. If it's in Patterson Park, if it's we're addressing youth crime, or if we are addressing other issues that are taking place, the critical piece for my organization, for me and down to my organization, is to listen. And as we listen, our job then is to provide the service that the community says that they need and that they want. But, you know, if you take a look, and not to fall back on this, but if you take a look at the strategic plan where we ask community what they wanted, community already said clearly over this past year that the way that we're doing things, they were not pleased. So part of what we need to do is to listen, to understand, and shift very quickly, not take a lot of time, not take a lot of talk about it, but just to get it done.
So let me come right to the phones here and open this up while you're with us at 410-319-8888. We're here with Commissioner Batts. And Russ on the east side, you're on the air.
Greetings, Mark, to you and the commissioner.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Commissioner, I'm the guy that always says you want to get the opportunity. And unless and the tail end of this, the Baltimore City Police Department becomes an integral threat in the fabric of the community, they cannot succeed.
I agree.
Now, where I'm going with this is you have strategies and tactics that flow from those strategies where you're pulling people over for taillights being out, headlights being out. Same issues with police cars have, so it's hard to understand how we're going to get effective policing when we're focused on these non-issues just so we can keep the people and see if they've been drinking or whatever. But my real issue today with you, and I want to address, is you did 120,000 stops in 2012, I think it was, 13, for this stop and frisk thing with the gun charge program. You found 9 guns from what I read in the Sun paper. The mayor comes back a couple of weeks later and says, oh, by the way, we need $8 million of overtime for the police department. I'm trying to get my mind around, is this effective use of police dollars, and is this going to really contribute to our efforts to stem crime? I think you're driving it away from you, the very people like me, who you need to assist you in overcoming the problems. So why can't we get to some real policing and away from this Mickey Mouse stuff?
Russ, thanks for that call. Commissioner Batts?
There was a lot in that, so I'll try to be as succinct as I possibly can so we get a number of callers. I think the caller was absolutely right. In order to get policing done, you have to be part of the community. And being part of the community means that we need to listen to the community and build the organization around what the expectations are of the people who pay their taxes, that pay our salaries, so we work for them. And that we can't police in a way that we push the community away, or that they're making high numbers of citizen complaints. This past year, what we've seen in the organization is 400 less citizen complaints, and I think that's pretty close to about a 45% drop in citizens complaining about excessive force, about how we do our job as a whole. So I think we're moving in the right direction, that direction. Also, we have taken off, I think, pretty close to 1,500 guns off of the streets for this past year. Well, on top of that, we've made pretty close to 2,000-plus arrests for people with gun offense, where we do what we call GORA checks, which are gun offender registry checks. We've done more this year than any of the recent years. So it's not just petty things that we're doing. We have a pretty significant focus in taking guns off the streets. At one point last year, as we took more guns off, unfortunately, what we saw is some stabbings taking place.
So what he was saying, do we have our own version of stop and frisk then? How's that different?
Well, part of stop and frisk, I think, as a program, it comes out of New York. And I don't think that's so much what Baltimore has been doing in the past, and it's certainly not where I come from and what I do. What that focuses on is that we're making sure that we're stopping known criminals, and that's where you have the concept of VROs, violent repeat offenders. That's where our focus is. I think what the gentleman is trying to communicate is that if you're just doing random stops, random searches, random anything on citizens, you impact the good people and you push them away. And so we have a very significant program. We have a very significant philosophy and tactic that we're focused on violent repeat offenders, gun registered, people who have guns that we know have done gun offenses, and impacting them.
So let me go back to the phones here and also read a tweet that came in and come back to a couple of my questions. 410-319-8888 is the number, and Yuchi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Yuchi.
Look, you know, I think the real problem with crime in this city in particular, with no disrespect, with radio shows like yours, Mark, for years I've been listening to you, and the emphasis, the narrative has always been, you know, the primary way to reduce crime is to get the police chief in here and talk about what he's going to do. And you make this passing mention that, yeah, we know there's other issues that probably are more important, but we'll get to those sometime in the future. And then you have the police chief on again and again and again. I think the real problem is the socialization aspect. You know, you've got people who are doing things, and you've got mothers, unwed mothers and fathers who are not really instilling in the children, you know, this idea of, like, love yourself, love your community, you know, don't be violent, you know, be hardworking. And when you start that at the date of birth and take that through at least a couple of years, you will instill something. But your show and shows like yours never, ever, ever have people on within the community who are supposed to have a responsibility to promote those kind of values. And it always falls back to the police commissioner and the passing, oh, yeah, we'll have somebody on once in a while. So your narrative seems to be, you know, this armed struggle, you know, against citizens. And the real problem is, you know, you've got babies raising babies, and we're not taking the approach of, look, we've got to start conditioning people to raise children right. And I think that will have more impact than anything else than these repeated shows by the police commissioner.
Okay, let me suggest to you, Yuchi, that you don't listen enough then, because, with all due respect, we do a lot of shows on the issues in depth. We're lucky that the police commissioner Batts has agreed to come on often just to talk about issues. So people do want to talk to our police commissioner. The issues are deeper than the police. I think that you raise an issue that's very real. I don't think that's the there are issues underlying that issue that we have to address, issues of poverty, of families falling apart, of what happens in our school systems, of not having enough places for our young people to be. I think all those are compounded. I think that's part of it. I think to lay it all at the feet of young mothers and their kids is a little simplistic. I think that's part of it. And I think that we do wrestle with these issues in a very deep way all the time. Commissioner Batts comes on maybe once a month, but we have this show on every day talking about many, many things. So,
Mark, may I comment on that?
Yeah, please do.
I don't know so much if I disagree with what the caller is saying. And actually, from my standpoint, when you have a police department focused on enforcing laws, which is what we do, we have the bully pulpit at sometimes. And I think what my role is not only just enforcement and not only becoming part of the community and making sure that the police department is connected to the community, but it's also engaging in deep conversations to address. Now, I'm not pulling away from taking accountability. I'm thick skin. I can take hard hits. I have wide shoulders, and I can put the weight of the world on them and carry the city. But at some point in time, I think we do have to have a coordinated, deeper, richer conversation on where the city goes.
I think that's true. We have a tweet here from Unraptured who said, please ask Commissioner Batts why he thinks the continuing racist prohibition on marijuana is a good idea.
Actually, that's not the case. My position is this. Whatever medication that is legalized or not legalized within the states are not the call of the police department. We don't say whether you should or where you shouldn't. We get paid to enforce laws. So as the legislation or legislators mandate and the citizens vote on whatever they're going to do. Our job is to make sure that that's enforced or not enforced or managed in the correct way. So I don't take a position on that either way. That's up to the voters, and that's up to the legislators. My job is to enforce the policies that they come out with.
So something we talked about a bit earlier before we go back to the phones and get to Bob, our next caller up. What the first caller was talking about, Russ, when he talked about 120,000 documented stops, not just you, but under you, but clearly under Commissioner Bielefeld as well, resulted only 494 resulted in a seizure of nine guns were recovered, is what it said in the ACLU report, and that those kind of stops, random stops, rose from 59,000 in 2010 to 80,000 in 2011 and 123,000 last year.
I don't think that's accurate data. I think it is accurate and not accurate at the same time.
What do you mean?
Which means is that because the police department has challenges with automation and technology, our tracking of data is challenging, to say the least. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to correct and fix so we have clean and clear data. We have entered into an agreement to sit down with the ACLU. We already started a partnership with them to come in and be open, to be transparent, to allow them to look at our data, look at the challenges that we have, and find a way to correct them so we have clean and perfected data. I think we have two systems within the police organization. We're supposed to be doing data in one silo, but we're collecting data in the second silo. And the information that ACU has reported out is from the one silo and not from the second silo, and that's what we're trying to correct now.
One of the things the mayor announced in her State of the City speech, and we'll go back to Bob and Will and get them in here before the end and try to get this tweet in here as well. The mention is these 24/7 new command posts to look at all of Baltimore City. Now, a lot of people are very nervous about that. Is our crime that bad that we have to have a 24/7 looking at Baltimore City, watching its citizens? That has a lot of ominous features to it.
No, they shouldn't have ominous features to that.
Why shouldn't it?
That should be a very positive. The city has had cameras for years, going on decades. What the watch center in the police department is set up to do is not to watch the citizens, although that's the terminology. We may need to change the names. What we're doing there is a command and control of the entire police resources as a whole. What that's building in is efficiency. If I have some crisis that takes place, a train derailment, let's say hypothetically in the southern part of the city, and it pulls the entire district, the southern district, for this train crash. What the watch center does, or the watch commander in the watch center, that he moves all the resources in the city to make sure that the city is covered and that we adapt the crisis that takes place. If we have violence that takes place in the city, to ensure that we continue to have calls for service, that the city runs efficiently, not just that one district shuts down and we don't handle the calls for service. We have a better, more efficient way of tracking the city. And so when I come in the morning, I get a report from that watch center that tells me everything that has taken place, the trends, the ebbs and flows of crime, so we make sure going into the next day that the organization adapts. So it's built to be more efficient, not built to watch our citizens.
Right. I guess people worry about a slippery slope, which we can get into again. Maybe I can say this.
Say that one more time.
A slippery slope. But we can get into that maybe another day in some depth.
Well, just to make sure to know that we're not here to watch the citizens. That's not what we're trying to do. It doesn't even come close to that. So what it is just having a central point of command within the organization. And irregardless what the name says, it's just and most other agencies, you have what is called a watch commander, and that comes from the watch system from New England, where you walk around and you check everything. So this watch commander is just making sure that the resources in the police department are run effectively.
So Geisel tweets in, can you ask the commissioner how much federal and state funding the Baltimore Police Department would lose if marijuana is legalized? And another one from Travis came in saying the Baltimore Police Department was posting pictures of a raid that netted 6 pot plants on the same day that at least 2 people were murdered. But let's take the first one first.
Okay, give it to me, the taxes. The first one?
The first one was, can you ask the commissioner how much federal and state funding the police department would lose if marijuana is legalized?
I don't know the answer to that. I think a good look to see what is taking place is in California, which has had laws that dealt with medicinal marijuana for at least 15 years. To look at Colorado, who has completely legalized marijuana over the past years, and watch what occurs there. I think that's the good two states in Washington also, third one. to see what takes place out of that. But federally, marijuana is still illegal based on federal law.
But we don't have a sense of how much money this department would lose if it was legalized.
I don't know the answer to that.
And the other posts came in here, so I get a couple more questions here as well on the phone. The Baltimore Police Department was posting pictures of a raid that netted six pot plants on the same day that at least two people were murdered.
And I don't know the post, and that's something I would have to research. But one of the things that I do know that that is a trend within our city is that we've had some violence tied to marijuana sales. We've had violence tied to people coming to buy marijuana from people on the corners who are selling it, and the sellers are getting robbed, one. We're having another trend that's occurring in our city that people are calling to meet drug dealers in off-the-way locations, and they're getting in cars and meeting them, which is, and then the buyers are getting robbed, and it's turning into violence and getting shot too at the same time. So those are, and when I asked my guys to go back and track down some of that violence, it's connected to some of those weed sellers.
Of course, if it was legal, then we wouldn't be worrying about violence and marijuana, but it's another.
Like I said, that's up to the voters and that's up to the legislators. My job is to just enforce the laws that are there.
So the mayor also announced that Operation Ceasefire was coming to Baltimore. Does that mean that you'll be working closely, alternating tactics with David Kennedy from Boston to figure out how to address issues of crime in ways other than stop and frisk, other than just locking people up?
They just had a symposium. They, being David Kennedy's group, has just had a symposium, and David has been working with those for a number of cities. I think he's working with Oakland, California, Chicago, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and there's a number of other major cities. I may not have all the names of them. But we are happy to participate and looking forward to, you know, having a collaboration with David Kennedy. And the mayor's office is the point of that, and probably moving forward over the next several months.
Commissioner Batch, I know you have to go, and we have a panel coming in, and folks calling in, your questions are just right for our panel, so don't go away, Bob and Will. I want to thank Commissioner Anthony Batch for joining us once again, and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thank you, Mark. Sincerely appreciate the time.
Take care.
All right.
We're going to take a very brief break, and when we come back from that break, we bring our panel in to continue this conversation. Stay with us.